What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the Unpack Podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation. On Twitter at the Unpack Pod, on Instagram at the Unpack Pod, Patreon.com/TheUnpackPod, where 30 seconds ago I spilled a beer in my desk and had to scramble around and like the Vikings looking for a quarterback on Sunday. I am Zach Rapport at Zach Rapport on Twitter, and let's talk some Packers. I'm joined by the usual crew. Alex Patakis, how are you doing?
Struggling to get back into the mode of doing anything after 2 weeks of nothingness.
Oh yeah, I had last week off, and I was just talking about this with a coworker. Started again on Monday after a full week off, and who were the weirdos who were like, on that Monday they're like all bright eyed and bushy tailed and just like ready to go. Who are those people?
I had a rant about this on Monday morning, because it was almost like there was a few people like competing to see who could be the most back, with just, you know, text messages and emails at like 8:15. You know, nobody works that early in New York, like when you're just in an office.
No.
Doing emails all day, like cut it out. Yeah.
Maybe
I wish my whole life could just be that week between Christmas and New Year's, just like five straight Saturdays, but a lifetime's worth.
Yeah. Capitalism.
That'd be nice.
What a bummer. Speaking of time off, we're also joined by Ben Foldy. Did you get any time off, or you just...
Yeah, I got some time off.
That's good.
I didn't do enough with it, but that's
COVID. Are you a slacking coworkers at 8:15 in the morning kind of coworker, or no?
I probably hit people at 8:15 in the morning, but probably not with a smile, I guess.
I feel like as a journalist, that's just kind of like required. Sometimes you just got to send that message.
Stuff happens when it happens.
Yeah, well, some stuff happened on Sunday. The Packers took the Vikings to the woodshed. 37-10 was the final score in Lambeau, clinching the one seed a week before the season is over, which is pretty awesome, thanks to the Arizona Cardinals. Alex Patakis drinking, is that orange wine, or is that...
you know, it
kind of looked orange in color.
It's called rosé, but it's definitely not, doesn't taste like rosé.
Doesn't look like any rosé I've ever seen.
Burnt rosé.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. So it probably is orange wine, but I'm not sure. It was poured for me as I was scurrying to get ready to do this podcast fresh off of breading some soon-to-be chicken cutlets.
Ooh, there you go.
They're already cutlets, but they're soon to be chicken.
Exactly.
Oh, man. See, we don't want to like get back into the swing of things here on the pod.
It was a weird game, right? I mean, it felt like a foregone conclusion before it was, you know, 5 minutes in, and
it totally did.
I honestly don't love the feeling of how easy this all feels, and I worry about that.
That's a Ben Foldy take. It was fun and easy, but is it like too fun and too easy? Is it too good? Should I be worried
like
about
I mean, I like not worrying, right? Like, I like being able to turn off the game, and, you know, I turned off the game at the half and checked in later, and I told my girlfriend, I was like, I bet you that the Vikings haven't scored, or if they have scored, they haven't scored a touchdown, and I open it up, and it's 27-3, and I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, I don't need to turn this back on, and that's all well and good, but it's got some of the... well, I can't remember what year it was, but the 15-1 vibes.
Yeah, 2011.
Kind of
yeah.
going on, which I don't love.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I was curious. I was going to ask, like, did you mean you don't like how it feels because you're not entertained? Or did
no,
you mean you don't
well,
like how it
yeah,
feels
I mean,
because
I don't...
you're scared that, like, it's going to come...
For a Sunday night game,
down.
I would like a blowout so I can turn it off. Like
yeah,
living on
yeah,
the
it's
East
a
Coast,
blowout.
I just
East
want,
Coast time
I want,
zone.
I want my blowouts on the dumb night games. But
you
yeah,
waiting
I
all
don't
day for Sunday night.
The one thing that I think you know, all of the injuries and stuff make me think that like they've had enough adversity that. You know, this probably doesn't feel easy to them. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like how I felt. And I guess it's similar because I definitely like I think the past 2 years in the NFC Championship game went into it playing the team that I went into the postseason fearing. And other than my Cowboys napmare. Which is like kind of baseless. It's, you know, I don't actually believe that the Cowboys can come to Lambeau and beat the Packers, but I say that while knowing like, you know, anything can happen, but I agree that it makes me worried that I've not watched a single team other than the Packers in the NFL and been like, that's a really good team.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think it's too obvious for the really good, the only like really good team to win, you know? And
yeah.
I don't know if that's, I don't know. That's
I just, but I mean, mentally, right? Like, let's say they go out and they get punched in the nuts with a bad special teams play and an uncharacteristic turnover, right? Like,
yeah,
we don't have much evidence this season of it, of the team being super able to deal.
We don't? I think we do.
What do we have?
Mostly. Well, they've overcome a lot of special teams issues.
Yeah. Sure, but I mean, I'm talking about a game where they're down 14 points. I mean, I guess what was the first Vikings game was kind of a comeback almost.
Yeah, kind of almost.
The Cardinals game was tight and like resilient. But the Saints.
Do you feel like they're a little untested still?
I mean, the Saints kind of punched him in the face and never looked back, right?
Yeah.
And I realize that's a long time ago.
The game didn't count.
The 49ers.
But the Niners, had like nobody that game,
yeah.
If I remember right.
The Bengals, let's see.
I think they did have a lot of guys injured. Yeah, the Bengals with the missed field goals and stuff like that.
Yeah. That was, yeah, some self-imposed hardships. I mean, I guess, like, what do I expect? I mean, what are they supposed to, like, you know, if there's nobody better than them, there's nobody better than them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I mean, just to play... contrarian here, I think that, you know, maybe it's easy for me to fall back on the old adage of, you know, you can only play the games that are on your schedule. But that's what they did. And they won a lot of them. And a lot of those teams are winning football teams. And I mean, you look back at like the Chiefs have turned like that. I think of the Chiefs game is interesting to me because like, that's a game that was possible for them to win without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, no, I think the team itself is as good as it's been in the past decade.
Yeah,
maybe better.
Yeah,
like when you include AJ Dillon, and
but when you're feeling that high, you're worried about how far you can fall.
Yeah, exactly. Like I wouldn't. You know, I guess
well,
I should savor it. But
I'm gonna savor it. I'm gonna stay positive, and we will go into Note Nugs, and I will give. My note nug coming out of this game on the note of trying to stay positive, and that is that I think that really this was the most kind of complete win of the year. And I mean, I know Cousins was out, but I don't care, man. You're an NFL team with good skill players. You got a shot at the playoffs. You go out and you try to win. And the Packers' domination of this game was fully realized by halftime, probably before, Ben, you were saying a couple minutes in. I mean, to me, this is exactly what we wanted to see out of Green Bay heading into the final week of the season, with the exception of the slow start, I think, on offense. But overall, a wire-to-wire whooping and it being the Vikings is that much sweeter. So for me, the vibes are pretty high at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't be me if I felt good about the team looking good.
It's true.
But no, I mean, I think the team looks as good as I've ever seen them look, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, the Ben Foldy take is the team looks as good as you've ever seen, and that is worrying.
Yeah. I want to be pleasantly surprised. And, you know, I guess also maybe there's, you know, I still have complicated feelings about Rodgers and everything. So maybe that's lingering as well.
Oh, yeah.
It just gets worse and worse,
Atlas
man.
Atlas shrugged. It gets worse every week.
I just now, like, that show needs to be...
He can read whatever books he wants. It's, I mean, the other thing is...
He's big into The Giver, him and every other seventh grade boy.
There was a part of me that was wondering, you know, it's like, it doesn't take much for Rodgers to get COVID at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the good thing is the NFL won't let him.
Won't let him get COVID?
Well, like, he can get COVID, but if he's not, like, you know...
You mean they won't
in
make
serious,
him be out? Yeah.
Medical, like, danger. He's not going into protocol in the playoffs.
We're at the point now, yeah, where the good news is the NFL will let a star player play with
COVID.
The
two highest profile... two of the three highest profile quarterbacks in the NFL, I think, are... Well, I guess I can't say this. I have to be somewhat responsible, but... Let's just say there's reason to be suspicious of another quarterback who has a personal trainer who helped another player fake a vaccination status who also quit in the middle of a game this week and was somehow still defended by the player I'm talking about. So anyway,
yeah.
I don't think either number 12 is coming across a COVID test anytime soon if the NFL has its way.
Yeah. I guess I should. I guess... There was a part of me that was just like, you know,
wants to see Jordan Love start a Super Bowl. Yeah, no, me too. That'd be fucking cool.
Well, that'd be hilarious. But also that the shoe could so easily be on the other foot.
Yeah.
And I took little pride in that. It's a bummer when you're like, ugh, Kirk Cousins, like, ugh, we're on the same level.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the first time ever, our quarterback is like in the same group as others in the NFC North.
I slid into our buddy Arif Hassan's DMs and we just had a moment of like, this is the worst season. This is so stupid. And yet the Packers are poised to be in a good position to make a deep run and still have to feel conflicted about it. Dumb. So dumb.
Anyway. Oh, I got some breaking news just coming across the transom.
Oh, we're going to hit the breaking news sounder.
Hub Arkush. One of the 50 media members that the AP gives a vote to for the MVP award has said that Aaron Rodgers is a jerk and a bad guy and that he won't vote for the MVP. He won't get his vote for MVP. I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team, your organization, and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player.
Did he punish his team?
I don't know.
In the football sense, I mean, he did a lot of, like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that one because...
Yeah, I don't know either.
The MVP award is also not the Walter Payton Award, right?
He's a Bears writer, so...
Yeah, no, I understand. I think he's still the favorite to win the MVP.
Oh, yeah. No, I
And that tells me he's going to win it, right? I mean, like, what else...
Oh, he's going to win. There's no way...
And he's playing this week? Like,
there's no way he shouldn't win it. Allegedly? I guess the thing is... And this is like the downside of all the vaccine stuff is like he's just going to be in the news that much more saying that much dumb stuff. And that's a bummer. It's hard to get behind that.
Yep.
For weeks at a time.
Yep. Anyway, moving on with note nugs. Alex.
I can go. I have a something I don't feel conflicted about.
Go for it.
I can feel good about it.
Give me a layup nugget here. What do we got?
A layup nugget. I think it was Davante Adams. I'm going to go to one of his quotes post game because it reminded me of a note nug I gave like 2 or 3 weeks ago when he called the Alan Lazard touchdown a dog ass play. And I said that the MVS touchdown a few weeks ago, he basically came up with the term I was looking for and instead went on a long winded rant about how this time in high school, like there was this catch over the middle, like, a dog-ass play is the new thing I'm always going to say when a receiver does something that I feel like is just like very legitimate NFL receiver material.
Yes.
So thank you, yes. Devontae. I believe it was him who called Lazard's touchdown that. And the Packers receiving unit has some dogs and a big dog at tight end. So it's, you know, as complete as it's been for a long time, even though, yeah, you know, OBJ still scoring TDs. Still would have loved to see that just to make this season even more insane.
Yeah.
But
crazier.
Yeah, shouts to Devontae for coming up. It was Devontae, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, who came up with a term for that I'm gonna continue to use now.
Dog ass play.
And hopefully you don't have to beep that.
Nah.
Otherwise I won't use it that much.
We're fine.
Okay,
no,
great.
No one listens to our show.
But anyway, shouts to a complete game. Receivers play well. Everybody play well.
That Lazard touchdown catch, the dog ass play. What a remarkable catch. Just a great, great play. A good throw and just like a goon finding a way to get in position and make it happen. And just a great catch.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed the little kind of montage they did during the game where Collinsworth was talking about, you know, a drop that Lazard had on an Aaron Rodgers perfect throw. And like since then he made like one big play and everything has changed. You know, I do really enjoy watching Sunday Night Football other than the time slot and like just, you know, not loving having to stay awake that long. I do think they give you more than anyone else gives you as a broadcast.
It's a good broadcast.
That like sticks in my mind. And I'm like, I thoroughly enjoyed watching that. It wasn't just kind of like the same boring football content.
Agreed. And I know that Collinsworth gets dragged through the mud a lot. Pretty much, he pretty much is trending every Sunday for like something goofy that he said, and people are reacting to it. But I enjoy, like you said, a lot of those nuggets from him. We got Tirico this week. I think Tirico's great.
Yeah, he is great. The future of Sunday night, so that I feel good about that too.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. They showed it was a game against the Lions, and Lazard had basically blown a play, had missed a catch, and I'm pretty sure that what happened is the coaches then pulled him out, and Rodgers was the one who said no, like let's get you back in the game. I want you back in the game. I trust you, and that's when the big play happened.
Oh yeah, so he like went back to yeah, that's what it was. Anyway, very cool.
Ben, you got a note nug?
No, I mean I like Alan Lazard. He's real good at football, I think. I guess my note nug would just be how about that kind of total second string offensive line looking really good against what was supposed to be like a pretty good defensive front.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have the memory of a goldfish apparently, but I think this has probably been my note nug a couple times this year. But it's wild how well this offensive line of, you know, relative nobodies has played, and it really does kind of give pause of like, do you put somebody coming back off injury in? If it ain't broke, do you fix it?
Yeah. And we can talk.
Is it the most impressive thing of the season? When you think about, you know, okay, they're going to win more games than anybody else. They've dealt with these injuries, this, that. Like,
I think
the fact that the offensive line has never been an issue, given who's been playing and how many different, like, you know, starting fives they've had.
You know, earlier when Ben was talking about sort of games and or comebacks, maybe what has happened this season and why should I feel confident in the Packers being able to overcome things. I think maybe really what I was thinking about was less about situations within games and more about overcoming injuries throughout the year. It really
For sure.
has been impressive. And I think that the depth has been not just a key, but a big difference between this team and some other Packers teams who stacked up a lot of wins and ultimately were maybe a little flimsy or deeply flawed in one way or another in the playoffs.
Yep, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Speaking of the offensive line, though, we got a note nug in from Seth on Twitter who says, we gave up too many yards to Garrett Bradbury. How about that play?
That's a classic stupid play.
That's classic. Right? Like on a night where they're honoring John Madden every 4 minutes, that was a classic, like, big man with football, John Madden kind of moment.
Yeah, I wish he would have scored.
I kind of do too. Or wish he would have gotten a little bit more chaotic, team chaos.
Yeah. What do you have to lose?
I guess the ball game, but Sean Mannion was not going to get it done. Why'd they bring in they brought in Mond for one series?
That was weird.
That was really weird. And then in the post-game presser, they asked Zimmer, do you want to see more of Kellen Mond next week? And he said, nope. He just said no. Not particularly, which I thought was funny and also telling. I think we should throw it to break. We can stretch out, pee break, do a little news and haikus after the break.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, guys, we are back. I was going to just usher us right into the spot, unless, is there more breaking news? Should I hit the sounder? We got anything? Anyone patrolling Twitter? I don't think anything's happening. It's a rough time slot for breaking news. We got nothing.
I think we're good. Everyone's coming off the COVID list.
Yeah. We're going on, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah.
And on that note, let's read some poetry. Just fielding a punt. Desperate for competence. Give me more of more.
I like David Moore.
I will admit, and I'm usually pretty plugged into the roster situation. Like, Alex, whenever you're texting, like, what is a Tyler Davis? I'm like, oh, you don't know that guy? He's this, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm at least, like, within the last week, I know who's on the team. He caught that first kick or punt. I don't know what it was, but I was like, who is that? I have never seen that person before. But I tell you what, you can tell. When someone is confident and competent at fielding punts, you can tell because they just secure it right away and they immediately move forward. And it's something that Amari Rodgers has, I don't even want to say yet to master. He just can't, not even master, just can't even do the basic level of it. Sorry, Amari. Just can't do it. It's time to... Rodgers is I think back on the squad off the COVID list, but I personally hope he's lost that job.
It would be pretty nuts if he didn't. And I think that, you know, having someone who you have no clue who they are come in and do like a really solid job really makes you wonder like how it took that long to just find a person, like you said, of competence. You know, guys who can field punts in the NFL, kind of growing trees, I would say, in the NFL realm.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, it's nice to see. Nice to see. One less thing to worry about, maybe.
Hopefully. And the field goal unit seemed, there was a little bit of a bobbled, a bad snap, I think. But Mason
Recovered.
Crosby has been solid recently. I was having a what is a more moment on Sunday, but Ben, you said you knew who he was already.
I mean, I remembered him as a Seahawks receiver briefly.
Well, satisfied. I am satisfied because I'd been saying for weeks, got to get somebody in the door. And I guess, you know, Tyler Irvin, I've been banging the drum as a free agent, but maybe it makes more sense to get a guy who is a wide receiver, a little bit of a bigger body, and is also very fast, can play maybe other roles on special teams too. And yeah, maybe that there's waiting for the right fit, I guess. Anyone else want to read some poetry? Alex, you want to go?
Sure. Let's do it. Take me to the spa.
There you go.
I had my napmare, so now I am wondering who it is you fear most. I kind of blew my haiku earlier. Because it's just the only thing I could keep thinking about. But like, I don't know. Who do you not want to play? Is there, who's the other good team in the NFL other than the Packers?
I think the Kansas City team I wouldn't totally want to run into. Or do you mean pre-Super Bowl?
Well, I guess I'd be happy to get to this. Okay, look. I mean, like, yeah. Pre-Super Bowl, I guess, is what
okay,
I'm wondering.
Okay, so NFC teams.
But the Chiefs can be beaten, man. Look at what Joe Burrow did to them.
Sure. I'm not saying they can't be beaten. I think the Packers can beat any of these teams, honestly. Honestly, the Bengals, the Bengals might be a team I don't want to run into, honestly.
Yeah.
I think...
I can't see them making a run to the Super Bowl. Sorry, Zach, what were you going to say?
I just think NFC or Super Bowl, talking about the AFC side, I just think it's just a big cluster of teams where... There's some that are outside of the cluster who I'm like very confident the Packers could beat. And then there's just this big group of teams where it's like, yeah, either team could win that game, I think. I have faith that the Packers could win a game against Kansas City, against Cincinnati, against Tampa Bay even, although it's not a particularly great matchup. But I could also see them losing and being like, yeah, that kind of makes sense too. I don't know. That's kind of a cop-out answer, but I really, it's been muddy the past month and it's not getting any clearer.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, I keep doing this thing. It's just like, how is it going to come to an end? I mean, the reality is it's likely that they just win it all because it like all evidence points to the Packers being the best team in the NFL. And I was really trying to think, okay, if I'm like writing the script to this season and how it could really end in heartbreaking fashion, other than the mystique of Tom Brady, there's not really anything that I would fear, you know, I mean, that's literally it. Just because that guy is playing in the conference on a team that's going to be in the playoffs, I think is the only thing.
Yeah.
Especially because I paid special attention to the Cowboys this week because they were on at, you know, like kind of like the game of the week and everything. And they've looked impressive at times this year, but
they're a flawed team too, though.
They have a lot of they have far more flaws than the Packers do, and you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, dude, like somebody finally realized that you can take advantage of Diggs on a double move. Like I mean, imagine him trying to you know, make that split second decision whether or not to jump on a Davante Adams route, who happens to run like some of the best routes in the league. And yeah, I don't know, I just come away from this week feeling more confident, yet still like I feel like I'm just looking around waiting for, you know, someone to come knock me out, but there's like there's just nothing.
Yeah, and there's also the Lambeau factor of a team's got to come in
and they're gonna, yeah, give me home, man.
In Green Bay, you know,
that's what they said in 2011.
It's true, but I don't know. I saw someone
tweet. It was cold and everything.
I saw someone tweeting about Dak Prescott's got like screws in his ankle. And he's going to come up and it's going to be 10 degrees. Seems like not a recipe for success. Although,
maybe. I don't know.
On the AFC side, it's, let's see, the Bills, the Patriots. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe the Bats.
I sort of feel like the Bills could beat anybody on any given day.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that the Bills are...
It's a real mess of a league outside the Packers.
To me, let's see, the cluster that I was talking about earlier of the teams, I think, where it'd be a ball game either way, and I could see it going either way. But as well, I feel confident about the Packers. I think that cluster includes the Bills, Kansas City. I would put the Bengals in there. I'm not sure about the Titans. They've won a lot of games, though. But
Titans are a perfectly legitimate football team at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But are they good?
But,
but like that's a, I think even the cluster, you could be like, who's good?
And that's all AFC. On the NFC side, I mean, I'm not, you know, we've talked about your nightmare, the Cowboys. I don't know if I'd put them in that cluster. Maybe.
You know what? If I had to answer my own haiku question, maybe more than Tom Brady, I wouldn't love seeing the Cardinals again with Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
That I could see, like, I would feel better, let's say, if the Packers were playing the Cowboys, even given the nightmare, than I think I would the Cardinals, because that there's like this randomness factor to the Cardinals, I think. Like, their pass rush can just show up and be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And Kyler Murray could just be like untouchable on a given day. I don't know.
I feel like that the likelihood of that is of Kyler Murray being untouchable is lessened on a slow, cold Lambeau Field. I
think that's true. Makes that's it true. A little anyway, bit of a difference. I'm like looking for reasons to worry. It's story of my life, just like riddled with anxieties that don't
you
need
and
to
Ben
be there.
Both.
Anyway.
Well, you are looking for specific things to worry about, and Ben is more like, it's too good. Something bad is going to happen.
It's like, it's just too quiet. You know, it's like everything's way too calm. It's like,
and yet it's not calm. It's chaos. There's COVID everywhere. Players going on, players going off. Everyone's injured. Will they come back? Won't they come back? You know, I don't know. I don't want us to get too lulled into narratives. I think this is a team that has overcome a lot and is a damn good football team. So I'm still choosing to be confident, but I feel like, As the host, I feel like that's almost my role here. Try to make this a confident effort. Ben, did you write us a poem?
I did.
You don't gonna make it up on the spot?
No. That, ladies and gents, is why you get the vaccine. But he is John Galt. Just to reiterate, I don't want the shoe to be on the other foot. It's hard for me to take any pleasure beating up teams whose quarterback isn't available because they got COVID. Get vaccinated several times, ideally.
Yep. Yep. I don't know. I don't have anything to.
Yeah, I can't really like
to add to that. I'm pretty sure that the Packers, like what I saw of the Vikings on Sunday, I think the Packers were going to win that game either way. I feel pretty confident about that. But once you heard it was anyone but Kirk Cousins, I was like, okay, well now I know they're going to win by at least 10 points, if not more. And I feel like I felt that physically from the very first kickoff because I was, I don't want to say disengaged, but I was very relaxed the entire time. Just kind of,
I mean, there was very little tension in that game.
Yeah.
Do you think, since, you know, I think what you said before, Zach, was valid there, you know, I think if we were like to go back and really think through the whole season and list some negative things that have happened to the Packers, maybe we'd be kind of surprised at how much adversity they've actually faced. Is it a credit to Matt LaFleur how easy it has felt given all of this? And is that like, because, you know, people talk about the coach of the year thing too. I don't really think it's like a huge deal. I'm not going to be sad if Matt LaFleur doesn't win coach of the year. But the ease is which he's won 13 or more games for three straight seasons. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. You know, it's like an incredible record. I think people take it away from him because it's Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers has been great. He's going to probably win two MVPs in those three seasons, but
But you know who was
There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Because
you know
Aaron
Rodgers was not great the last couple years of the Mike McCarthy
era.
Yeah,
like,
was Aaron Rodgers. I think it's one hand washes the other, really.
A healthier, younger one, when asked to carry the team, couldn't necessarily do it. So maybe we're taking it for granted a little how easy it feels.
I think the coach of the year conversation is very valid. I think he won't win it because of Aaron Rodgers. But I think that Matt LaFleur is undoubtedly part of this Aaron Rodgers turnaround, even if it's just to bring in a fresh perspective and to kind of light a fire under him. That's part of what coaching is.
Who did Bruce win last year? Did Bruce Arians win last year?
Oh, who won last year? Google break.
Google break.
Kevin Stefanski, the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
All right. I guess.
Dumb.
Yep. See, that's the other thing is like this award is stupid. I would love Matt LaFleur to win it just because I want all the Packers to win all of the things. But
who votes for it?
It's AP?
Yeah, I think so.
It looks like there's only... Oh.
It'd also be hard to argue against Zach Taylor.
Yes.
It's not that hard.
You argue...
I mean, like, I don't know. What would Matt LaFleur need to do to win this award, then?
I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like...
Not win more games. Yeah. I basically do it with someone else at quarterback.
Yeah, he would have to win... at least 10 games with someone not named Aaron Rodgers, I think.
I mean, he didn't coach a great game with Love, but so what?
Which is, so basically the award is just like, which team overachieves the most? And then we just assume that it's because their coach is good.
I'll be interested to see if we get any Love this week, because this coming week against the Lions, because... Love has been taking number one reps, taking less of them now, I think, with Rodgers kind of easing back into practice off after his toe injury. But he wasn't getting those reps before when he did play. And so I don't know. I'd be interested. I think it's a fair point to say that LaFleur didn't call a great game, but that was kind of like an oh crap moment on like late Thursday, I think, when that news dropped that he got COVID.
Yeah.
I don't think he had enough time to build his plan around Jordan Love, which was, you know, the factor.
Okay, you guys convinced me he's not Coach of the Year.
That's it. All right. I don't know. Are we hitting the polka? Any other hot topics? Has your wine changed color, Alex?
Still burnt rosé.
My desk is now, it's dry, but also a little sticky from the beer
that
I spilled on it.
I've turned into chicken. I smell them. Stomach is rumbling. Ready.
Stomach.
I'm ready for 3 weeks of risk-free football. Or sorry, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Well, yeah, there's still risk. Because the one thing we didn't really talk about was the players want to play next week. And it sounds like Coach LaFleur is saying that starters like Rodgers and Adams will see the field. Do we think that's the right approach? Wrong approach? I don't know. I think 2 weeks off for some of these guys is too much time off.
Yeah, I think there's a way to have them see the field and minimize risk, which I assume is what they'll do, and then they'll come off, which I think I'm cool with.
Yeah. I think I agree with that.
I'm good with that.
Well, in that case, I'm just going to hit the polka because I got to pee. Alex is working on those chicken cutlets. Are they chicken cutlets yet? Are they?
Yeah. I can tell from
Alchemy.
The smell coming from the kitchen.
Alchemy.
I know.
You just close the lid, the magic happens, and then it's chicken. Who knew? All right. Well, this has been a great podcast, guys. Packers beating up on the Vikings. That's always a good feeling to carry into the week. And we'll play the Lions here in the last week of the biggest season ever, or whatever the NFL is saying about this stupid long season. Ah, everything is stupid. Packers are really good. That's all I got. All right, guys. Take her easy.
Bye, guys.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.